Is all the pressure on Liverpool ahead of their trip to Chelsea?
It's a little bit of a funny moment for Liverpool. I feel as though the idea that Liverpool have been absolutely atrocious is now being somewhat over-egged. Liverpool have played 6 league games and won 5 of them.
Is Ange already in danger of getting sacked?
Newcastle on Sunday is a horror game for him to have. Very unlikely Forest are going to get anything whatsoever from that.
And what's the secret behind Dortmund's unbeaten start?
They're not the old Jurgen Klopp team. They're not really comparable to the flair of Thomas Tuchel's side, but they are wholly decent.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast, no faff. Let's go Route 1 in association with Jolson. And more on them later. There's no doubt as to the pick of the games this weekend. It's the Nouveau Riche of West London against the established football aristocracy of Merseyside. That's Chelsea-Liverpool, by the way. A week ago, we'd have been going into this one looking at Chelsea and their 2 wins from 6 and their injuries and suspensions and the constant sense that the Matthew Harding stand is one bad result away from absolutely losing it with Enzo Maresca. But that was before Palace. And before Galatasaray, and before the news that Alisson, the best goalkeeper in the world, and I shall brook no dissent on this matter, is out, possibly for 6 weeks, possibly for 8 games. Neil Atkinson joins us from the Anfield Wrap. Neil, is it panic stations in Kirby, or did you see enough of Mamardashvili in the Euros to feel that this is all going to be okay?
There shouldn't be panic stations, and that's not just because of Mamardashvili. The thing to point out is that Alisson, through his career at Liverpool, has loved a little 9-10 game break. 2019-20, makes 29 league appearances, and in the last 2 seasons, it's been 28 in each of the 2 of them. Kelleher, really good job last season filling in for him. I think at the point at which he dips out of the side, Kelleher, there's maybe been just about enough and you're ready for Alisson Becker to come back. But that's the same with Adrian, going back to 19-20 as well. It's a little bit of a funny moment for Liverpool. I feel as though the idea that Liverpool have been absolutely atrocious is now being somewhat over-egged. Liverpool have played 6 league games and won 5 of them. And they're really poor, full of individual errors first half at Selhurst Park. They concede with the first shot of the game from a set piece, and then from there the half isn't very good. But I think as part of this, it's worth sort of pointing out that second half then Liverpool do more than enough. They should be 3-0 down at half-time. They're not. And at the point it goes 1-1, you're sort of left feeling as though Liverpool deserved that for the second half performance, if not the first. Galatasaray, they were fine for the first half, have a bit of hard lines with the penalty, and then they're pretty abject for the second, and the game sort of ebbs away. But that's it. You know, you look at the rest of the fixtures that Liverpool have had so far this season, 9 competitive ones, and they've won 7 of them. And for periods in each of those games, they've been the better side. Not having Alisson, you want to have the world's best goalkeeper when you can. But I think the most important thing for this Liverpool side at the moment is that it holds its nerve, accepts it's going through a difficult moment, accepts form and fitness is a little bit inconsistent across the whole team, and from there, battens down the hatches and makes sure it emerges from Stamford Bridge with at least a point.
And you can find more from Neil Atkinson on the brilliant Anfield Wrap. There's a link in the episode description. Elsewhere, it's a very evenly balanced weekend. There's Bournemouth-Fulham tonight. The Cherries are still unbeaten in the league since the opening day. Your early Saturday kickoff is Leeds, who are quietly going about their business this year against a Spurs side wildly overperforming their statistics and who played in the Arctic Circle in midweek. I'm calling that a home win. Just 2 Saturday threes for you, but they're good ones. Arsenal, the league's dominant force at set pieces, play West Ham, who are catastrophically poor at defending set pieces. That could get messy. And how will Old Trafford react if this impetuous Sunderland side, 3 wins on the board already, take Man United to the cleaners? Liverpool supporting Lola on socials will definitely not be looking for an illegal way to tune in and find out. There are 5 games on Sunday, 4 at 2 p.m. Chris in the writer's room will be nervously watching Everton against 19-game unbeaten Palace. Dino, who does video, will be at Aston Villa Burnley. I'll be slowing down to Gorp at Newcastle Forest. And doubtless someone somewhere will watch Wolves Brighton, but alas, not from this office. The weekend wraps up with Brentford Man City at 4:30, and if that doesn't light your candle, consider this. Brentford have scored in every single game they've played this season, so you never know. In the EFL, we've got the documentary Derby as Wrexham take on Birmingham. That's tonight at 8. You can see Frank Lampard's high-flying Coventry at Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow at 12:30. Me, I'll be at Roots Hall to see a stuttering Southend take on Aldershot in the National League. This was supposed to be our year. Starting a new business can be incredibly daunting. I've done it 3 times now, it still gives me the heebie-jeebies. However, my most recent venture, this one, was a lot less stressful thanks to Jolson. They're a B Corp certified commercial law firm, which means they're committed to using their business as a force for good through their social and environmental performance, while, you know, also being really, really good at what they do. From startup to exit and everything in between, they've worked with brands like Innocent, Proper, Addison Lee, Tenzing, and Lucky Saint, to name just a few. And Jolson are offering 10 listeners of this podcast a free legal consultation with one of their lawyers on issues relating to fundraising, IP, manufacturing, partnership agreements, or employment issues. Visit www.jolsonlaw.com/route1 to submit your request. Jolson guided us through company setup, investment, shareholder agreements, all the legal stuff that, I'll be quite honest, it terrifies me. So if you want stress-free expert legal advice for your business, check out www.jolsonlaw.com, who are proud sponsors of this week's Route 1, and you'll find all of those details in the episode description. If you have only a passing interest in the Bundesliga, you may have heard of Harry Kane's goal-scoring heroics or Leverkusen sacking Erik ten Hag. News of Borussia Dortmund's very nifty start might not have reached your airwaves. Now, for those that don't know, let me tell you. Niko Kovac's side sits second in the Bundesliga, unbeaten. They've scored 4 goals in both of their Champions League matches so far. Had they not conceded 2 late ones in both of their draws this season against St. Pauli and then Juventus, they'd have won every game. Seb Stafford-Blohr, what's been working so well for Dortmund this season, and can they continue their fine start against RB Leipzig on Saturday?
Actually, that unbeaten Bundesliga record goes all the way back to March and to Leipzig, because the last team to beat Borussia Dortmund in Germany was RB. Very different sort of Dortmund that day. I think the change in them under Kovac has been in a few different areas. Firstly, they're a lot more stable defensively. They're a lot better at handling transitions. Previously, under Nuri Sahin, in a weakness that ultimately cost Sahin his job, they were very fragile, very brittle. They could attack and they could be quite expansive and interesting, but they were always so susceptible to turnovers and vulnerable to the counter. Whereas Kovac's Dortmund are kind of the opposite. They are very, very strong defensively. I think they've conceded just 3 times in the Bundesliga all season. They've got their first choice defenders now back. So that's Valdemir Anton, Nico Schlotterbeck and Niklas Schüle. It's a back three. They're all in place and various members of that defence have been injured recently. So that's a good development. But I think the big victory under Kovac has been the form of Karim Adeyemi, the attacking midfield, who's always been quite a capricious player. He's always had really great moments, but fleetingly, 5 or 6 weeks of good form before it disappeared. But heading into this game, he's now gone 5 straight games with a goal and an assist, which is, I'd argue, the form of his career. And in around players like Sarah Gyasi, Julian Brandt, who's also really recovered his form under Kovac, Dortmund are quite workmanlike. They're not the old Jurgen Klopp team. They're not really comparable to the flair of Thomas Tuchel's side, but they are wholly decent and competitive and very clearly the nearest challengers to Bayern Munich this season. And particularly in Dortmund, they'll be very strong. So I think home win against RB Leipzig.
You can and you must seek out Seb's brilliant Bundesliga coverage over on The Athletic. Now, we told you earlier this week there have been, on average, 5.9 goals in every Eintracht Frankfurt game this season. This weekend, they welcomed Bayern Munich, for whom Harry Kane alone is averaging 2.1 goals per game. That's on Sky Sports at 5:30 on Saturday. Two perfectly watchable Bundesliga games right there. Get stuck in. If you want to use your football watching windows to catch up on a bit of league this weekend, let me point you in the direction of Lille versus PSG on Sunday at 7:45 on Amazon. Lille keeper Burk Ozer will go into that one on top of the world after his incredible hat-trick of penalty saves in a 1-0 win against Roma last night. Check that out on social media if you haven't seen it already. Real Madrid might have won 5-0 away at Kairat Almaty on Wednesday, but they lost 5-2 to Atletico Madrid on Saturday. Xabi Alonso will want a response to restore some calm, but he Oh, he could have wished for an easier opponent than Villarreal. Marcelino's side are in great form as Sevilla, Athletic Club and most recently Juventus have learned of late. A Villarreal result at the Bernabeu wouldn't be the biggest surprise. Speaking of Sevilla, they welcome Barcelona this weekend, who will themselves be looking to bounce back after defeat against PSG. Sevilla haven't beaten Barca in La Liga for a decade. Atletico Madrid will see if they can score 5 goals for the 3rd game in a row, this time away at Celta Vigo. All the La Liga games are on Premier Sports in the UK. In Italy, AC Milan follow up their clash with Napoli with a trip to Turin to take on Juventus. Milan sit top of the league so far, thanks in no small part to Serie A top scorer Christian Pulisic's fine form. Elsewhere, it's finally here, the moment we've been waiting for. Jamie Vardy is going to the San Siro and his newly promoted Cremonese side are yet to experience defeat this season. This story could write itself. And Atalanta versus Como, that could be the one for the hipster in your life. 7:45 on Saturday, and that, like all Serie A games, is on DAZN. A few things to squeeze in before we go. Nottingham Forest were beaten last night at home to Midtjylland, and wow, the atmosphere at the City Ground was not pleasant by the end of that one. Matt Davis-Adams, we had you on the show 42 days ago, and we said, Matt, surely they won't sack Nuno. Look where we are already.
Do I have to look where we are already? Can you not just give me a little bit of breathing space between me and my 2-time European champions who have suddenly turned into an absolute bunch of chumps? This was always going to happen, wasn't it? You can't go from styles so diametrically opposed as Nuno Espirito Santo's and Ange Postecoglou's are without it all going pear-shaped. But I didn't think it would be quite this toxic quite so quickly. It looks like Postecoglou's on hiding to nothing, but Evangelos Marinakis is a stubborn man. And actually, despite his reputation, he's not massively into changing managers for Forest. So I reckon Postecoglou's got a little bit more rope, but Newcastle on Sunday is a horror game for him to have. Very unlikely Forest are going to get anything whatsoever from that. I think as supporters, we were kind of accepting of the fact that the Premier League season might have to go by the wayside in order for us to have some fun in Europe. But if that's not happening either, crikey, it's going to be a long, old slog.
Scottish football doesn't get the best press these days, but it's the Edinburgh Derby this Saturday at 5:45. And if Hearts beat Hibs, they will be 5 points clear at the top of the table, with Celtic playing Motherwell on Sunday. When was the last time a non-Old Firm team won the title? I'll tell you in a moment. And finally, the England squad has been announced, and it didn't have Jude Bellingham's name in it. Didn't have Jack Grealish's name in it either, which rather surprised me. Manager Thomas Tuchel has mostly kept with the same squad that performed so well in Serbia last time out. And while I'm not sure I would have made the same calls, I do have to say it's nice to see an England manager brave enough to not just pick the biggest names regardless of any other factors. Oh, and when was the last time a non-Old Firm team won the title in Scotland? It was 1985, 40 years ago. It was Aberdeen, then managed by a young man by the name of Alex Ferguson. I wonder what happened to him. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, no faff. It's here every weekday at about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow. If you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your audio producer was Helena Fremantle. Your video editor was Dean Throssell. Your video producer was Sean Nicholas. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. Lola Katz-Roberts and Sophie Manners were on socials. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday.